is from Luke 24, verse 13 to 27, which can be found on page 747 of your Bible. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them,
"What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
"Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?"
"About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus."
"How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
If a friend asked you what the Bible was all about, I wonder what you would say. Would you say it's a collection of stories about Noah, or stories about David, or some stories about Jesus, or some stories about Paul? Would you say the Bible really is a collection of rules? A book that tells you how to live. Maybe if you were being very clever, you might say, well, the Bible tells us about how we can be friends with God. The good thing is, we don't need to guess what the Bible is about. Because in today's true story, Jesus tells his friends exactly what it's about. Have a look down, if you've got a Bible yourself, or if the grown-up's with you, have a look down at verse 27. This is the key verse. Have a look for that little number 27, where it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." That word scriptures there, if you're not sure what it means, it basically means the Bible. And Jesus tells his friends that the whole of the Bible is about him. Some whisper it. Some shout it. Every story is about Jesus. Now, we're going to have that refrain again and again during the talk, and I'm going to need your help to join in. So this is how it goes. Repeat after me. Some whisper it. Some shout.
Some shout.
Every story is about Jesus. The whole of the Bible is about Jesus. But here's the strange thing. The Bible that you have at home is in two parts. The second part is the New Testament, which was written after Jesus was born. The first part, the Old Testament, was written before Jesus was born. But in today's true story, when Jesus met his friends on the road to Emmaus, the Bible that they had was only the Old Testament, only the bit that was written before Jesus was born. So when Jesus says, all of the Bible is about me, what he's saying is, all of the Old Testament is about me. Now maybe you're thinking, hang on, that's a bit strange. How can a book written before Jesus was born be about Jesus? I wonder if you thought, if a book was written about you before you were born, what do you think it would look like? Here's mine. Here's what mine would have looked like before I was born. Here's the cover. Can you see? No picture of me. I hadn't been born yet. Here's the title. It just says, A Life. My name's not even in there because no one knew what my name was before I was born, except maybe my mum and dad. Shall we turn to chapter 1, see what was in it? Chapter 1. Nothing. Nothing in the book about me before I was born, because you can't write a book about someone before they were born. You can't do it before they were born. But that's what Jesus said. So how did the writers of the Old Testament, how did they write a book about Jesus before he was even born? Well, Jesus says that if we look carefully at the Old Testament, we'll see that some stories whisper it. Some shout, every story is about Jesus. And to see what Jesus says, we're going to need our Jesus vision goggles. Okay. Here are mine. I'm going to put them on. Okay. So let's see if they stick on. Oh dear. Now, I'm just going to hold these. My Jesus vision goggles are a bit like night vision goggles. Who knows what night vision goggles are? Stick a hand up. I can't see. Yeah. Tim Hill, what are night vision goggles? Yes, exactly. Night vision goggles at night help you to see things you otherwise couldn't see. And these Jesus vision goggles are a bit like that. Okay? They're a bit like that. They help me to read the Old Testament the way Jesus wants me to read the Old Testament. And that's very important. And if we practice with our Jesus vision goggles, we'll see things about Jesus in the Old Testament we would never have seen before. But children, I want to let you in on a secret. If there's an adult next to you, cover their ears now. Adults, cover your ears. Okay? Children, you don't actually need goggles to read about Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you three important ways that you can learn about Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay? Right, you can uncover your adult's ears. They still think we need goggles, but we don't. Some stories whisper it. Some shout. All of it is about Jesus. I want to tell you about three ways you can learn about Jesus from the Old Testament. There are lots more. I could have chosen many more. I chose three. Here they are. People, problems, promises. We could have chosen any. We just chose these three. Let's do the first one, people. I would like to introduce you to Joshua. Joshua from the Old Testament. Let's give Joshua some stuff to put on. There's a sign. This sign says Joshua. Can we see that? And finally, a sword. Okay? A sword. Joshua was one of the leaders of God's people in the Old Testament. Joshua was very brave. Joshua? Can you give us your bravest face? There we go. Joshua was responsible for defeating the Canaanites, God's enemies. That's why Joshua has got a sword. Joshua, can you wave your sword like you mean it? Brilliant. Joshua was wonderful. But here's the exciting thing when you read about Joshua in the Old Testament. The more you learn about Joshua, the more you learn about Jesus. Like Joshua, Jesus is the leader of God's people. Like Joshua, Jesus is very brave. Like Joshua, Jesus defeats God's enemies. But Jesus is even better than Joshua. Joshua defeated God's enemies by waving his sword around. Joshua, could you wave your sword around? Wonderful. Jesus defeated God's enemy, an even greater enemy than the Canaanites. Jesus defeated death by dying on a cross. You see, as you learn a little bit about Joshua, you begin to learn about Jesus. So next time you're reading the Old Testament and you're reading about someone in the Old Testament, ask yourself this question. How is this person like Jesus? How is this person not like Jesus? Some whisper it. Some shout. Every story is about Jesus. Thank you very much, Joshua. Do you want to go back and sit down with Mum and Dad? We can learn about Jesus in the Old Testament when we think about people. We can also learn about Jesus when we encounter problems in the Old Testament. Okay. Now, I've got a problem here. You've been on holiday. I hope your brains are feeling fit and active. I've got a very big problem. Okay? Rub your heads, because this is a tough one. Here's a problem. 19 plus what equals 25? The clock's ticking. When you know the answer, stick your hand up. It's taking a while, particularly for the adults. Yes, 19 plus what equals 25? What do we think? Yeah. I think that's right.
Well done. That was a tricky problem.
It was a tricky problem. The Old Testament is full of problems, even trickier than that. One of the trickiest problems in the Old Testament is this. You listening? How can a good God live with bad people? How can a good God live with bad people? Think back to the Old Testament story. God's people were in Egypt. They were slaves. And then God rescues the people and gives them a place to live, a place to get home. He protects them. He keeps them safe. He looks after them. And how do they respond? Grumbling. Disobedience. They ignore him. What a way to respond. It's a bit like this. Imagine your best friend gave you a wonderful present like this for Christmas. What a wonderful present. And instead of saying thank you and playing with it nicely, you drop it. And then you do this. You squish it and squash it and bash it and bosh it until it's totally destroyed. Now, if you did that with a present someone gave you, your friendship wouldn't last very long, would it? And that's exactly what God's people did with the present God gave them. He gave them the most wonderful gift, friendship with him. And instead of saying thank you, God's people squashed and boshed and bashed that gift. They smashed up their friendship with God. That's a huge problem. That's probably the biggest problem we know. So as we read the Old Testament, and we come up against this problem. How can a good God be friends with bad people? That's a problem. The answer is Jesus. God sent Jesus to die so that instead of being enemies, we can be friends. Romans 5 says it like this: while we were enemies, God made us his friends. How? How did God make us his friends? Through the death of his son. Jesus is the answer to all the problems in the Old Testament. So the next time you come across a big problem in the Old Testament and you just think, oh, this is terrible, think about how Jesus is the answer. What does Jesus do which might fix the problem? Some whisper it. Some shout. Every story is about Jesus. Finally, you learn about Jesus because of promises in the Old Testament. You learn about Jesus because of promises in the Old Testament. Now, here's a promise I'm going to make. Listen carefully, this is very exciting. There is someone amongst us here who is going to arise and do something very, very special. This special person can juggle. But not just any juggling. This special person can juggle Terry's chocolate oranges. Wow. It doesn't get any more special than that. What a promise. Now, you know what the promise is, okay? You know what the promise is. Someone's going to stand up, they're going to juggle. Not balls, Terry's chocolate oranges. You know what the promise is, but you don't know who is going to fulfill the promise. Look at your neighbor. It could be your neighbor who is going to do this. No one knows. We know what the promise is, but we don't know who it is. Who can juggle Terry's chocolate oranges? And then, when the tension is building to an insane level, suddenly that person stands up. Wow. You see, when I made that promise, you didn't know who would fulfill it. And then, there he is. Sam Chappell can juggle Terry's chocolate oranges, and at very short notice. In the Old Testament, God made lots of wonderful, wonderful promises about someone special who would come and do special things. But when those promises were made, no one was quite sure who. That's what we want to know. Who's going to be the one who's going to come and do these wonderful things? Until Jesus was born. And then they saw that he was the special person who would come and do the wonderful things. Even more wonderful than juggling Terry's chocolate oranges. So if you read the Old Testament with your Jesus vision goggles on, when you read these amazing promises, if you've got your Jesus vision goggles on, you'll be thinking, I know who is going to fulfill these promises. It's Jesus. These promises are about him. And that's pretty special. Some whisper it. Some shout. Every story is about Jesus. He is the hero of the Old Testament. From Moses to the prophets, it's all about him. Which is why you could call your Bible the Jesus book. Because it's all about him. And that's why this term in junior church, with youth, in grown-up church, we're looking at books like Genesis and Ezekiel. You might be thinking they're a bit odd, they're a bit old-fashioned, they're a bit old, a bit weird. But we know that they're all about Jesus. And we're desperate to get to know him better. To get to know our friend Jesus better. And so we're reading those books because we know there is nothing better than knowing Jesus. Some whisper it. Some shout. Every story is about Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for that wonderful Bible study Jesus must have done with his friends on that road. We thank you that every story in your book is about your son. Help us to read the Bible with our Jesus vision goggles on, and this year, get to know Jesus better. Amen.